Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Our dry period is about to end. We have a level one risk for severe storms tomorrow. We'll go over the timeline coming up.
Power crews are restoring electricity to one neighborhood after trees crashed down on power lines.
Former President Donald Trump changes his legal lineup just hours before surrendering to Georgia authorities. The significance of the change.
Well, so much for that brief break from the oppressive heat. Tomorrow we move into a wetter pattern. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Storms are likely late in the day tomorrow. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at our level one risk for severe storms on Friday.
Most of us are in this level one risk. Definitely the Triangle area all the way down to Goldsboro and everybody north of there. We could still see a few isolated storms down to the south, but they're likely to be a little less strong than what we could see in the other parts of the viewing area. Let's take a look at the big picture. We have a large area of high pressure in the middle of the country, and we have disturbances riding up around it, right across the ridge. One of those was in Ohio, now moving down into Kentucky right now with some scattered thunderstorms. Later on today, we'll see one of those dropping out of Virginia into our area, but that's not likely to bring us any severe storms. Let's take a look, though. We're going to start things off here at lunchtime. A good bit of cloud cover out there and a small chance of a thunderstorm dropping in this afternoon and evening in our northeastern counties coming across from Virginia. Tomorrow's going to be a hot day. We'll hit 100 degrees, lots of sunshine. But right about 5 o'clock, a few storms will start to develop near the Virginia line. There's 7 o'clock, some of those reaching, say, Rocky Mount, Durham, and Raleigh at that point, and then continuing to slide southward. 8 o'clock down around Goldsboro, and by 10 o'clock down into our southern counties. And some of those could produce some very heavy rain and possibly some damaging wind. We have new information from Tropical Storm Franklin. That storm is moving northeast at 7 miles per hour. It's likely to keep moving northeast and then take a jog back to the right. By first thing Saturday morning, it may be a Category 1 hurricane and Category 2 possibly by Monday morning. But the computer models and, of course, our fan from the National Hurricane Center have been consistent for the last several days, keeping it off the coast of North Carolina. Rip current danger and maybe some beach erosion would be our biggest impacts. But we're also watching another system. The Hurricane Center has given another system a 50% chance of developing near Florida and possibly moving off the coast of North Carolina by the middle of next week. I'll show you what the thoughts are on that coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. New details this noon after a shark bites a child swimming on the North Carolina coast. WRAL's Brian Schrader shows us the picture we just got into the newsroom. Brian.
Renee, I just talked with the spokesman for Oak Island in Brunswick County, and he says they haven't had anything like this happen since 2015. We just got a picture of the bite itself. Thankfully, this was not a serious injury, but if you're squeamish, you might want to look away for just a second here. This happened yesterday afternoon on the beach there at Oak Island. Police say the 9-year-old boy was swimming in a couple of feet of water with an adult family member. They noticed small fish jumping out of the water nearby, and then a small shark bit that boy on the shoulder. The family did not call 911. They just took him to the hospital where he was treated and released. The town says this is an isolated incident, but the beach patrol is keeping an eye on the surf area today. Now, unrelated to that shark bite, there is a warning for swimmers because of several jellyfish stings this week. But the town pointed out that it's about a dozen stings among up to 20,000 beachgoers over the past week. Still, just a good idea to be aware of your surroundings when you're out at the beach.
Those were some distinctive teeth marks on that boy's shoulder. Glad he's going to make a full recovery. And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, North Carolina, Supreme Court Justice Michael Morgan is stepping down. He was considering a run for governor, but he said today he'll leave the state's high court early. He'll be stepping down the week of September 4th. He declined to lay out his future plans, but says he has a strong desire to make a difference here in North Carolina. He had previously said he would not be seeking re-election. He is in his first term in the high court, but he has been a judge for 34 years.
Education advocates held an event in downtown Raleigh this morning to criticize Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. He's running for governor in 2024, and his critics say that would be bad news for public schools. Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie was there and joins us live from the legislative building this noon. Laura?
Jeff, leaders of some left-leaning groups held a news conference today criticizing Lieutenant Governor Robinson for his stances on education. It's the first time we've seen an event aimed directly at Robinson, and that's pretty much a sign that the 2024 gubernatorial race is already getting underway. Robinson is the current frontrunner for the Republican nomination next year. In his autobiography titled We Are the Majority, he wrote that he is in favor of keeping everything out of elementary school, but reading, writing, and math. In those grades, we don't need to be teaching social studies, Robinson wrote. We don't need to be teaching science. We surely don't need to be talking about equity and social justice. Well, earlier this week in a speech in Charlotte, Robinson claimed that he did not say that. At the press conference today, critics highlighted those remarks as proof that Robinson would damage public instruction if he's elected governor.
We're hearing the flip-flop already well before the gubernatorial election even begins, and we're here to remind people in North Carolina, do not be played by individuals that do not care about your future.
Now that's Marcus Bass. He leads the group Advance Carolina. He and other speakers also called out the lieutenant governor for his efforts to ban books from schools and his claims that teachers are indoctrinating students. Today's event comes after Robinson has gotten more national media attention recently for some of his remarks, especially those targeting LGBTQ people and espousing conspiracy theories. A spokesman for the Robinson campaign sent me a statement calling the rally a dishonest political stunt. The voters are smarter than the Democrats' cynical stunts meant to cover their tracks of failing kids and families every chance they've had, said Robinson campaign spokesman Mike Lonergan.
Laura Leslie live from the legislative building for us this noon. Laura, thank you.
Today, North Carolina's first elections that require voters to show an ID are happening. Sanford and Charlotte have their primary elections for city council races today. Voters approved requiring ID to cast a ballot in 2018, but it's been held up in the courts for the last 5 years. Today's votes should help officials start preparing for any issues in future elections with bigger turnout, like next year's presidential election. North Carolina is again expected to be a key swing state. For more on the new voter ID rules and what to do if you don't have an ID, go to nccapital.com.
At this hour, Duke Energy crews are working to restore power to a North Raleigh neighborhood. Right now, fewer than 200 customers are without power, which is down from 1,000 at 8:30 this morning. The cause is several trees, even a transformer in yards and blocking the street. Destiny Patterson spoke to neighbors about what they experienced.
It's pretty incredible, the scene here on Devlin Avenue. You can see this transformer in the street. It snapped off of a pole. This is one of many that has had damage to it from when that tree fell. Further down the street, you can also see a tree that's completely blocking the road. Neighbors here tell us that there was a man actually trapped in his car for about half an hour, but luckily crews were able to get him out safe and sound. We talked to a guy in the area who says that this is the first time that they've had anything of this magnitude happened right here in his front yard.
It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were just rummaging around the house, getting the kids ready for the day, and we heard a large crash, and then the power went out. And originally, I thought it might have been like my HVAC unit or something, but we looked out, and the transformer was in my front yard.
I spent some time driving around the area, and earlier today, much of those traffic lights were actually completely out. But since then, Raleigh police tells me that most of those traffic lights are back on, and most of the people whose power had gone out is now restored. Duke Energy is on the scene and they're working to get this area cleaned up. It's not exactly clear how long that will take, but we will stay in contact with them. Destiny Patterson, WRL News in Raleigh.
Former President Donald Trump shaking up his legal team just hours before he's expected to surrender in Fulton County, Georgia. Trump replaced attorney Drew Feinling and will use attorney Stephen Sadow to handle his arrest and processing. The Atlanta-based attorney described as a special counsel for white-collar and high-profile defense. He also previously challenged the state's RICO law. Trump is set to surrender on more than a dozen charges stemming from his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia. Supporters for Trump gathered outside the entrance of the Atlanta jail this morning, many carrying signs and American flags. One large sign at the entrance reads, Trump or death. The stage is set for the second GOP presidential candidate debate. It will take place on September 27th at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. To qualify, candidates must register at least 3% support in a minimum of two national polls accepted by the Republican National Committee. Last night, eight GOP presidential hopefuls took center stage in Milwaukee to make their case to voters. There were numerous clashes and some theatrics as they sparred over everything from the economy to climate change to the former president. You'll hear from the candidates in our next half hour.
A fire at a Raleigh motel could have been a lot worse. That's the word from firefighters. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on that scene shortly after the fire began around 1 o'clock this morning. The fire started in the second to last room. And there is a lot of damage to that room and the rooms on either side. No one was hurt. We'll let you know how it started once the investigation is complete. Durham police are trying to determine who was at fault for a deadly crash involving a motorcycle. It happened just before 9:30 last night on North Roxborough Road. Police say the motorcycle and a vehicle crashed at the intersection with Rippling Stream Road. There's no word on the condition of anyone who was in that van. We also don't know if there'll be charges filed.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some really sad news out of Harnett County this afternoon. A missing 17-year-old has been found dead. Investigators have identified the teen as James Devin Snipes. This is a picture of him. This was actually a post from the sheriff's office looking for him. He had been missing for several days. The Harnett County Sheriff's Office did partner with the Lee County Sheriff's Office in that search effort. That started on Tuesday. He did live on Olivia Road. He was found in the area of Cook's Lane. Very sad, Michelle. Thank you. New data is giving us a better idea of the lead contamination at some Durham parks. This is a concern for parents and their children, many of whom use those parks. WRL's Kelsey Coffey takes a closer look at the data and what the city is doing to fix the problem. We're at Walltown Park. This is one of two parks that had eight samples in the park area and creek that measured higher than the EPA threshold. That means lead levels here are elevated and could be unsafe. East Durham Park tested with the same results. East End, Lyon, and Northgate Parks each had one sample that measured above the EPA threshold. The playgrounds at Northgate Park were closed last week due to the lead levels and remain closed today. Now that we have this information, the State Department of Environmental Quality is reviewing it, and access will be restricted in some areas like what we're seeing now at Walltown Park. This sign behind me says no wading in the creek, and the city is also trying to find ways to prevent future exposure. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham. Next at noon, radioactive water that's being treated is now being released into the ocean in Japan. What neighboring countries are saying and doing in response.
Also, a mechanic's joyride is caught on camera. What made the car owner believe something was wrong and to have a look at that dash cam?
Plus, at 12:30, with school starting, so are the hijinks. How experts are detecting vapes disguised as school supplies.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Japan began releasing treated radioactive water from the wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant into the ocean today. This discharge period is expected to take about 17 days. NBC's Janice Mackey-Frayer shares opposition from some domestic activists, as well as objections from neighboring countries.
It all started just after 1 o'clock local time today. Officials at the nuclear power plant confirming they've started to release treated radioactive wastewater from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant into the ocean. They're pumping it through a tunnel that extends about a half mile out from the coast, 40 feet underwater. They diluted this treated wastewater before the process began. This is the nuclear plant that was ruined in the 2011 earthquake and tsunami here. It triggered a triple meltdown. Much of the water that was treated over the years and is now being released was used to cool the melted fuel. Until now, it's been held in these massive storage tanks, but the tanks are nearly full, so that's the issue. The International Atomic Energy Agency has been good with the plan. They say they'll continue to monitor for levels of tritium. That seems to be the concern. They're using this very powerful filtration system to treat the water. It's removing most radioactive material, but not tritium. And that is what's sparking criticism and opposition across the region, especially from China. Chinese officials today again warning they will take all necessary measures against Japan. Officials at the plant will continue to monitor the levels as this process continues. It'll happen a few times over the course of every year, probably for the next 30 to 40 years.
So Japan says it will place top priority on safety and quality and that they'll stop the procedure if any problems occur. China decided to ban all seafood coming in from Japan anyway. Japan plans to skin and grill about 2 fish per day over the first month and check for tritium in steam generated from heating the marine animals. Now, the result for the first test on fish caught this afternoon will be published Saturday on the agency's website.
A North Carolina woman is charged with faking her death. Police in Macon County, in the western part of our state, say Margaret Sweeney sent messages to her family and friends saying she had been murdered. Investigators learned Sweeney used a third-party text app to send the fake messages. She was found safe the next day. The 37-year-old is due in court next month. A judge delayed the death penalty trial for the man charged in the deadly stabbings of 4 University of Idaho students last year. Brian Koberger's trial was set to begin on October 2nd. During a hearing yesterday, he waived his rights to a trial within 6 months from the date he was arraigned on the criminal indictment against him. The judge did not set a new trial date. Koberger's attorney says the defense is prepared to challenge the grand jury's indictment.
A car owner in Washington State says he took his car to the shop for repairs and ended up with another problem. Mason Berger says when he picked up his BMW, he discovered an issue with his stereo, which was not part of the original problem. Berger says he also noticed another phone connected to his Bluetooth speaker and decided to check his dash cam footage. The video revealed an employee from the shop took the car for a joyride.
There's 3 videos where he went over 100 miles an hour, topping out at 113. He runs a red light in a video, and in one of them, he gets out and you can see his face clearly.
Whoops. The owner of the mechanic shop told Berger he would be compensated for the damage 2 weeks ago. He still hasn't gotten his money. Berger says his next step may be to take legal action. Keely, you'll take your phone call. 5 on your side. I mean, that's an brazenness, right?
Very much so, yeah. Well, the heat is brazen once again. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with how hot it will get. Plus, it will set a record tomorrow, possibly.
Yeah, looking at 100 tomorrow, which will break the previous record. We're sort of in between today. One thing that's good about having some cloud cover this time of year is it does keep our temperatures from climbing quite as quickly. We're still aiming for the low 90s this afternoon, but it'll be much hotter tomorrow. You can see here the Whirly Gigs live view of Wilson, and they're spinning slowly, so there's not too much wind out there right now. We've hit 87 already, and we're looking at a high this afternoon of around 93, so we're well on our way to that. But our dew point is still down at 62, and as our dew point climbs into the upper 60s to low 70s, that's when it feels hotter than it really is. The more moisture there is in the atmosphere, the harder it is for your body to cool itself, and so that's where we get heat index from. Our temperatures this noon are noticeably warmer than they were this time yesterday. It's 5 degrees warmer in Goldsboro, 6 in Durham, and Raleigh is 6 degrees warmer in Southern Pines than it was at noon yesterday. I put the heat index on. It's not, you know, it's not a dangerous heat index by any means, but just to note, it's not that much hotter than it really feels. It's 87 in Raleigh, but it feels like 88. It's 86 in Fayetteville, but it feels like 88. 86 in Southern Pines, feeling like 86. So we're not seeing a huge heat index today because we have a much lower dew point in the low 60s, similar to what we saw yesterday. Yesterday, we dropped it into the 50s. So we'll climb to 93 in Raleigh, 93 in Durham, and 94 in Fayetteville, but it should feel more like low 90s, maybe 95 in a few spots. Here's a look at what's happening. I've shown you this for the last couple of days where we had this nice dry spot on this map, and that is done. As we get through the afternoon, we're seeing all that humidity pushing back in, and we'll really start to feel it tomorrow. So we're back to 69, well into the steamy zone tomorrow, and then into the tropical zone for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Boy, it really jumps for us on Monday. So today, 93, feeling like like 93 to 95, but tomorrow with 100 and a jump in our dew point, it'll feel like nearly 105 and around 101 on Saturday. And that 105 could mean that we have a heat advisory. And of course, that could affect Friday night football. Football Friday temperature at 6 o'clock could be 99 degrees. If some of the games have been pushed back a little bit later in the day, but we also have a good chance for thunderstorms. Remember, we have that level one risk for severe weather on Friday. So it may end up being kind of a double whammy for Football Friday tomorrow. We do have an excessive heat warning across the middle of the country, and that heat dome is moving our direction, and that's why we're looking at 100 tomorrow. The previous record, 99 in Raleigh, Fayetteville at 100, and the record 100 for tomorrow. Here's a look at that severe threat again, mainly for the Triangle area northward, and of course, looking at our potential for some isolated showers or a thunderstorm or two this afternoon, mainly north and east of the Triangle. You can see a little bit of that around 5 o'clock. The coverage of that is likely to be pretty minimal today. And then a very sunny day for tomorrow with that chance of some storms near the Virginia line around 5 o'clock. And then they drop down across the viewing area during the evening hours. So we'll be watching for that. Of course, if you have dinner plans or Football Friday, it could be affected. Saturday, Sunday, temperatures gradually begin to drop. And by the time school starts early next week, our highs will be in the mid-80s. But we'll have a better chance for thunderstorms, and it will be sticky. We have more to talk about around the tropics. It could be by the middle of next week. Another storm could be close to North Carolina. I'll show you coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. And because of the extreme heat expected tomorrow, that's causing a shakeup for high school football. More than 50 schools from around the state have pushed back their kickoff times for football. It is all to avoid playing in that heat when the sun is still up. And that includes plenty of games in our area. Stay updated on the latest kickoff times at highschoolot.com.
And then stay tuned. Don't miss Football Friday, the longest running high school football highlight show in the state, covering over 20 high school football games. Join us every Friday night throughout the high school football season, 11:35 on WRAL.
Technology is rapidly advancing, and this year's hottest topic, AI. Schools are already working to find new rules and regulations, but tonight on your News at 6, Matt Tallhelm explains how Wake County Schools is using the new tech to its advantage and incorporating it into the classroom.
It is brain fuel for your students. Coming up, Five on Your Side is going to show you some well-rounded, inexpensive lunches and the simple trick that can turn any picky eater into an adventurous eater.
The North Carolina DMV is ending its summer peak season hours this Saturday, but the agency is implementing changes at offices across the state to meet the demand. Starting Monday, five additional offices will open at 7 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. Two of the offices are in our immediate area, on Old U.S. Highway 70 in Clayton and on Forest Hills Drive in Garner. 40 other locations across the state already provide an extra hour of service to customers.
Apple, in a surprise move, is now backing a right-to-repair bill currently pending in California. The measure covers both consumer electronics and appliances. In a letter to state lawmakers, Apple says it supports the bill as it offers people the ability to repair their devices safely without risking privacy or data issues. The tech company has softened its stance in recent years. It even launched a self-service program last year, renting tools to repair iPhones and Macs at home. California's bill mirrors the law that took effect in Minnesota in May. A chain of discount stores will work to improve worker safety. Dollar Tree recently announced a settlement with Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA. The parent company says it will focus on resolving safety issues at Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores within 2 years. The chain will also pay a $1.3 million fine to settle all existing contested as well as open inspections.
Hotel rates are going up, and it could be due to some extra legal but quiet add-ons. A recent study finds booking a room is becoming more expensive to increase revenue. The additional charges in hotel tabs may come in forms like checking in early or checking out late. Reports show some hotels add on as much as $50 for early or late fees. Other hotels could be tacking on hefty parking charges. Southwest Airlines is limiting a feature that lets passengers be among the first to board a flight. The airline says the early bird function that allows travelers to pay extra to get the best seats will decrease. The option is still there, but the number of available spots will drop. Early bird buyers can pay at least $15 and check in before the normal window, which is 24 hours in advance of a flight.
We've heard of a four-day work week. Now, school districts across the country are implementing four-day school weeks. Hear from parents on what they think of it.
And hear your winning lottery numbers from the NC Education Lottery on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Despite the absence of GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, the sparks flew last night in Milwaukee. That's where Republicans held their first presidential debate in the critical swing state. NBC's Garrett Haake was there for all the action.
Overnight, fireworks on center stage at the first Republican debate.
We need to bring
with frontrunner Donald Trump refusing to attend, citing his lead in the polls, the night revolved around the next two highest polling candidates, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
We will send Joe Biden back to his basement and we will reverse the decline of this country.
And entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy.
The only war that I will declare as U.S. president will be the war on the federal administrative state.
The polarizing political newcomer trading barbs with nearly every other candidate, who pointed out his lack of experience.
Now is not the time for on-the-job training.
Now that everybody's gotten their memorized pre-prepared slogans out of the way, we can actually have a real discussion now.
And his combative style.
I'm the only person on the stage who isn't bought and paid for, so I can say this. The climate change agenda is a hoax.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here.
Some of the night's most substantive discussion on the issue of abortion and whether candidates would support a federal ban.
I promise you, as President of the United States, the American people will have a champion for life in the Oval Office.
Don't make women feel like they have to decide on this issue when you know we don't have 60 Senate votes.
Despite his glaring absence in the room, Mr. Trump's presence still felt. Asked if they'd support him as the GOP nominee, even if he were convicted, eventually six candidates, including DeSantis, saying yes, as the crowd reacted. Though some still seized on his legal and political baggage.
The conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States.
Former Vice President Mike Pence using the debate to once again defend his actions on January 6th.
He asked me to put him over the Constitution, and I chose the Constitution.
Would you have approached that question and that point any differently on the stage tonight if Donald Trump had been on it with you?
I don't believe I would, and I think it was a missed opportunity for him not to be there. My bet is he might be at the next one.
The second GOP presidential candidate debate is set for the 27th at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. Now, to qualify, candidates must register at least 3% support in a minimum of two national polls accepted by the Republican National Committee.
With breaking news developments on two stories out of Russia, the Wall Street Journal is denouncing a decision by a judge in Moscow to hold reporter Evan Gershkovich in jail until the end of November. Gershkovich has been sitting in jail since March on espionage charges. The 31-year-old U.S. citizen arrived at the Moscow court this morning in a white prison van. Russian authorities haven't detailed what, if any, evidence they've gathered to support the espionage charges. And just moments ago, Russian President Vladimir Putin broke his silence on the plane crash that killed Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin and seven others on that plane. The warlord led a failed uprising against the Kremlin exactly 2 months ago. Top Biden administration officials have repeatedly and publicly warned that Prigozhin could be killed by the Kremlin in the aftermath of that halted rebellion.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Chatham, Johnston, and Harnett counties. Chatham County Parks and Rec want your input on a plan to update and set up projects for the Haw River Trail. A new report covers the current conditions of the Haw River land and paddle trail. It also makes recommendations for improving the trails and strategies for making the projects happen. Printed copies of the report and comment forms are available at county libraries and the Parks and Rec office. You can also leave feedback on the Chatham County website until September 22nd. The deadline is coming up to apply for a vacancy on Selma Town Council. Earlier this month, council member Bruce McKay announced he will step down at the end of the month. The councilman said he is moving out of Selma because he recently got married. The deadline to apply is August 31st. You can apply at the website on your screen. Campbell University and state leaders want to hear your ideas on how to improve the mental health of college students. The state health department secretary and state lawmakers will be at the town hall at Campbell University tonight at 6. The community discussion will be in Levine Hall in the Wallace School of Osteopathic Medicine. Those in Harnett County and surrounding counties are invited to attend.
The FDA is warning parents and teachers to be on the lookout for vaping products disguised as school supplies. Some of the vaping devices come in sweet fruit flavors like mango, blueberry, and strawberry banana. The products resemble school supplies like highlighters, USB drives, and ballpoint pens. Meanwhile, Altria Group, the maker of Marlboro, is suing the e-cigarette company Juul. They say some Juul devices infringe on patents owned by the Altria subsidiary, Enjoy. As the lawsuit makes its way through the courts, Juul says it plans to lay off about 30% of its staff as it looks to raise capital or sell the company. It's waiting on a decision from the FDA on whether its products can stay on the U.S. market.
New data from Raleigh police show many drivers blow through school zones. Police cited 222 people for speeding in a school zone last school year. That is up almost 50% from the 21-22 school year. AAA also surveyed about 400 North Carolina drivers. 47% of them admitted to speeding in a school zone, and almost a third of them said they used their cell phone while driving through a school zone.
Students at one Durham public school are getting a few extra days of summer vacation. The new Northern High School will not be open on time. DPS says last week's storms are to blame for the delay. It will now open for students next Thursday. Open house will be Tuesday. The school has a limited certificate of occupancy, so just 10 staff members are allowed in at a time. Staff is working Saturday to get ready.
Graduate workers at Duke voted to form the first recognized graduate student union at a private university in the South. It is one of the largest unions in North Carolina. The Duke Graduate Students Union says it looks forward to meeting Duke at the bargaining table. Among other things, the student group hopes this will bring about significant stipend increases, grievance procedures, and comprehensive health care. How does school for just 4 days a week sound? Why some school systems are changing to that schedule, and how teachers and parents feel about it.
Plus, making sure school is familiar with your child's medical condition. Why it's important school officials have a plan in place for kids with epilepsy.
It is toasty outside today, but a storm is brewing. We're talking a hockey kind of storm. Tickets are now on sale for the Carolina Hurricanes regular season. The Canes opener will take place on October 11th against the Ottawa Senators. This is the sixth time the Hurricanes will begin a season at home in the last seven seasons. The team has won the last three season openers on home ice. A local bakery is now open in its new location. Earlier this month, Cafe Carolina announced it was leaving the Village District site, and it took over the old Soka location on Oberlin and Clark. Customers can visit the larger space every day from 8 to 4.
We're in week four of this year's Clear the Shelters event. Today's shelter spotlight is the Animal Protection Society of Durham. How about this handsome devil on the left? This is Rye. He's a goofy, sweet, and cuddly ball of fur. Rye has great manners and is good at sharing his toys. On the right, we have Sonia. She is affectionate, an adventurer, who loves to climb on her human's shoulders. And that's not all. This Saturday, August 26th, is our annual day of events. These seven shelters you see on your screen are offering specials and waiving fees to adopt your next furry friend. On-site visitors are welcome, and our own Kat Campbell and Chris Levengood will be taking you inside to help us all clear the shelters.
It's a plan a lot of students would be in favor of. We're talking about a four-day school week, three-day weekend. Parents and teachers share the benefits and risks of the idea.
Could a shorter week be coming to your children's school? Some schools across the country are already trying it out. John Saucier reports on the pros and cons behind the idea.
Ask most kids, and they'd probably agree, a four-day school week would be great. Some schools across the country are putting that plan into action. Research from Oregon State University shows more than 2,000 schools across 26 states have switched to the four-day school week, and that number is expected to grow. Parents are divided on the topic.
I think it would be good for 4 days. I think that just gives them more time, you know, to do extracurriculum, you know, sports and stuff like that.
I think that in our country we've done schools inclusive for, we've done it right for hundreds of years, and I think that why would we change something that has been going right for so long?
One major benefit of the 4-day school week, teacher retention and recruitment. At a time when teacher shortages are widespread across the country, the benefit of a shortened work week is appealing for many.
Honestly, the biggest thing for me is just to be able to like rejuvenate, like be able to catch up on schoolwork, be able to get the rest that I need in order to come back on Monday and be prepared for everything.
But what happens on the 5th day? A challenge of the 4-day school week is what will children do when not in school? For families with younger children, it could mean having to shell out more money for childcare.
What type of childcare will be available for families, especially those that typically have a 5-day work week? Many of the school corporations really are offering childcare, but at a cost. And so for families who are low income, are they able to pay those kinds of costs?
That was John Saucier reporting, and some of the schools that are already using this 4-day week are also extending the school day to help make up for the lost day in the classroom.
Epilepsy is a brain disorder that causes recurring seizures. It affects people of all genders, races, and ages, including children. If your child has epilepsy, doctors say it's important to have a seizure action plan. It's either a handwritten or typed out form that describes your child's seizure type that you can give to school officials. It should also contain information for contact information for families, the doctor's information, and instructions on what to do during a seizure.
Not every school has a school nurse, but having a responsible adult who knows what to do during a seizure, who's comfortable administering rescue medication, is really important.
Action plan forms are available online and through the Epilepsy Foundation. You can also ask your child's pediatrician to help you create one. Good to open those lines of communication before the school year starts.
So blue skies behind us, downtown Raleigh from Dix Park. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We do have some clouds out there, though, and not a lot of breeze to move them off.
Exactly. We take a look at Goldsboro, and there's some high clouds out there. There's a little bit of sunshine trying to filter through. We're in the upper 80s right now, headed for low 90s this afternoon. We take a live look at Apex. There are a few shadows out there, but there's definitely some hazy sunshine. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and, of course, there our newsroom in Fayetteville. Once again, we have a level one risk for severe storms for tomorrow. It's likely to be evening, starting around the evening commute and lasting till around 10 or 11 o'clock, moving from north to south across our area. We have a disturbance that's moving north to south from parts of Ohio into Kentucky. That one's fizzling out, but there is another disturbance that could drop into our eastern counties late today. That's not likely to produce very much rain. We'll take a look at that as we get through the afternoon. Some cloud cover for sure, and then just a small chance of a shower or thunderstorm in our eastern counties. So from, say, Goldsboro to Rocky Mount on up towards Roanoke Rapids. We should end up with a good bit of sunshine tomorrow. That's going to allow our temperatures to potentially tie or break records, looking at 100 in the triangle. But around 5 o'clock, this disturbance starts to produce some scattered thunderstorms around the Virginia line. And then at 7 o'clock, we're seeing it from Durham to Raleigh to Rocky Mount, and it continues to dive southward. That's 10 o'clock, and we're seeing some of the heavier rain from Clinton to Fayetteville to Southern Pines at that point. So this is your Friday night. So Friday night football Friday, we've got, you know, folks potentially heading out to dinner. It's going to be probably too hot to sit outside anyway. So we have a 20% chance during the day Friday, but during the evening, it's about a 40 to 50% chance of some storms. Saturday, 30, 40 Sunday, 50 Monday. So our chance for rain continues to go up. And in the next 5 days, we could see as much as a half an inch to an inch and a half of rain. And we're a little bit behind for the summer as a whole. So we could definitely use some rain. We've had a bit of a dry period. We take a look at Tropical Storm Franklin, the latest stats here, looking at that storm moving to the northeast right now. It becomes a Category 2 storm early next week around 8 a.m. on Monday, sitting off the coast of North Carolina. And that means we have the potential for rip current danger. That could start late this weekend and continue through around the middle of next week. The computer model plots are all offshore. But again, rip current danger, possibly some beach erosion. A couple of other systems that we're watching closely. This one that could develop here in the Caribbean has a 50% chance of developing in the next 7 days. The models are kind kind of, you know, on and off about this one, but this is maybe a worst case scenario. This develops here. That's Franklin. This system develops and potentially moves off the coast of North Carolina by the middle of next week. And then this one has a 70% chance of developing. It's likely to go straight up into the North Atlantic and not affect land. So temperatures for today, 93. Heat index around 94, 95. Tomorrow, 100, but we could be under a heat advisory. It could feel like up to 105. And then over the weekend, our chance of showers and storms goes up as our temperatures start to drop, 90 degrees. And first day of school, likely to be warm, 72. A good chance of some scattered showers and storms later in the afternoon. But high temperatures next week will mostly be in the 80s.
And breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, we are just getting this information in right now. Charlotte TV station WSOC say a body was found in Montgomery County in connection to the disappearance of Alicia Watts. Watts' boyfriend, we know, has also been taken into custody just a short time ago from his home by Charlotte Mecklenburg police. This is all brand new information right now. We are working to get more details. We have multiple crews headed out to Montgomery County. We will have more on air and online, and we'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A child is recovering after a shark bit him on the North Carolina coast. It happened yesterday afternoon on the beach at Oak Island. Police say the 9-year-old boy was swimming in a couple of feet of water with an adult family member when he was bit. The family took him to the hospital where he was treated and released.
Durham police are trying to determine who is at fault for a deadly crash involving a motorcycle. It happened just before 9:30 last night on North Roxborough Road. Police say the motorcycle and a vehicle crashed at the intersection with Rippling Stream Road. There's no word on the condition of anyone who was in the van, and we also don't know if charges will be filed.
A North Carolina Supreme Court justice is stepping down early. Justice Michael Morgan has been considering a run for governor. Today, he announced he is leaving the bench in early September. Morgan is one of two Democrats currently on the court. He did not lay out his future plans today, but says he still has a desire to make a difference in the state.
Special Olympics returns to its birthplace with a special event that showcases some of the most experienced athletes and their abilities. Chicago is hosting the first ever Golden Special Olympics for athletes 45 and older. The 3-day event is held at a track and field stadium on the city's south side. 150 Special Olympics athletes from 22 different park districts around the city of Chicago are competing in these Golden Games.
They really do form lifelong friendships. There's a huge sense of camaraderie. The families get to know one another. It is a big support system for the people who participate in these programs.
The athletes range from age 45 to 74, and two of the athletes took part in the first Chicago Special Olympics 55 years ago. There'll be an award ceremony today at 2 p.m.
Today's pet of the day comes to us from the Wake SPCA. Meet Dune. He's 6 years old and has never met a stranger. Dune is playful and energetic and would love to have someone to play with, whether that's his people or another dog in the house. He already knows sit and stay and will do anything for a little nibble of cheese or a chance to play with his toys. Dune's adoption fee is half off through the end of August because of our Clear the Shelters campaign. And you can learn more about him at spcawake.org.
Students need the proper brain fuel as they gear up to head back to school. Five on Your Side is going to show you some inexpensive, well-rounded meals to help your child thrive in school and a simple trick to get picky eaters to try something new. That's coming up at 4 o'clock today. We're also following breaking news in the investigation into the disappearance of Alicia Watts. WSOC is reporting a body has been found and Watts' boyfriend has been arrested. We have several crews working this story, so watch for developments online and on air beginning at 4 p.m.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.